I'm Dr. Rachel Monatis, and when I need tech help, these are my go-to guys.
Welcome to another edition of Tosa's Talking Tech, your place for all the tech happenings in the Bassett Unified School District.
I'm Michael Jeffcott, a technology integration specialist here at Bassett Unified.
And I'm Tom Covington, the other tech specialist at BUSD. And in this podcast, we will be going over the SAMR model, which I think we're on M for modification. We'll be going over a couple of great apps that we're using. Our Before You ticket today is going to be about Microsoft 365 and email access. And lastly, our Tech Minute today is going to be on email etiquette. So I hope you enjoy our show today, and thanks for downloading. All right. So welcome to episode 5 of Tosa's Talking Tech. Mike, glad to be back from our nice winter break.
Yes, it's great to be back. Happy New Year, everyone, that we haven't spoke to.
Yeah, we haven't talked to you guys in a while. I put a podcast up. Really busy just catching up with all the work that we had to do over winter break. And finally forced ourselves to sit down and get this podcast out to you guys so we can continue our dialogue on SAMR.
Yeah, and we're moving on to modification this time.
Yeah, modification, SAMR model. Remember, S is substitution, A is augmentation. We're moving to M today, which is modification, and that's on the top half of our SAMR hierarchy, which instead of just augment or enhancing what's going on in your lessons, you're really transforming the lesson into something new. Modification is the first spot where the technology redefines the task itself, and you can't really use lesson plans that you've been using when you're this far up the SAMR hierarchy.
And you have to have that tech to pull off this level.
This isn't a tech may help you. This is a you have to have that tech because you're redesigning the task based around that technology today. We're going to get into a couple of examples on SAMR. I think Mike has a couple of good ones he's going to share with us first. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, first one up. So some great examples for the modification level, the SAMR model. Some apps I can think off the top of my head. Poplet is a good one. Jot. Facebook could take you to that level. Edmodo, IdeaSketch, GoodReader, online doc collaboration type apps. You also have group boards. And one that we've used in the past a lot is Today's Meet, which actually is an online, not necessarily an app, but an online forum for discussions.
All of these apps have in common is there's some sort of collaboration component where you can talk about what you're doing in the app, either with a colleague, with a friend, with another student to student. There is some sort of more than one eyes getting onto the task at hand. When we were talking about Bloom and SAMR, this would be a higher level thinking tasks such as modification or evaluation and analyze tasks. So things like analyzing, posting, justifying, comparing, supporting or defending something, when you debate something, examining something up close, inferring, deconstructing or demonstrating something. These are all parts of our Bloom model that fit into the modification area of SAMR.
Yeah, and today I thought it would be kind of nice to review what we've done in the past already and take a teacher's original assignment and go up through the three levels that we are talked about in the past and one we're introducing today. So for that, I'm going to take a normal assignment many of us have done as teachers, discussing pros and cons or cause and effects or comparisons using such things as a Venn diagram from Thinking Maps. So the original assignment, to take some technology into it, substitution level, you would just take that Venn diagram, you make it digital. You'd have the students fill in their pros and cons on a device. There's a great one available I've seen in the iTunes store called Venn Diagrams. I think it's by International Reading Association. The nice thing about this app is that it's relatively easy for the students to use, and it's free. But with substitution, you're not really changing the assignment. They could do this same assignment on paper, or they could do it on a device. But that is a substitution level. And moving forward in enhancement, augmentation. With this same assignment by the teacher, using discussing pros and cons, discussing cause and effect, they could take it to augmentation by having the students use that same app. And in this case, they would highlight what they've already filled out in the app. They could revise it in the digital format. They could also take it to the augmentation level by emailing it or sharing it through a cloud app such as Dropbox, Microsoft OneDrive, which we are starting to use here at Bassett Unified.
And it's important to note there that the same app can be used for both levels at that point. It's about the task itself. The tech is a tool, but the task itself is defining what level we're using that technology at. That's a good point, Mike. Good job.
Yeah. Augmentation in the SAMR model over the original assignment allows the students and teachers to add a functionality to their assignment that enhances the original assignment and allows, in this case, for greater communication with that email aspect or sharing it with OneDrive.
And what about when you get that? Can you make that up the hierarchy a little bit more with modification?
And this is where we have that jump. This is the transformation. We go from enhancement to transformation, and that's what where modification comes in. And this, students could take that same idea, the original assignment by the teacher, and in this case, they could use that digital Venn diagram, and they could take that and put it into an online discussion format. One that we've done here at Bassett, it was today's meet. You could upload the image you have into, and I should explain, today's meet is basically an online invite-only live blog type format where students can respond to each other.
It's like a little chat room for the class today. That's why it's called today's meet.
Yep.
And it's free. It's a web-based app, so you can get on it on any device. You can Chromebooks, iPads. The kids have internet-connected cell phones. They could do it on that as well. And all it takes is a link that you give the kids or have the kids type in, and boom, everybody's there chatting in the same room.
Yeah, and the great thing about that today's meet is it allows that Venn diagram discussion to move beyond that classroom, beyond the teacher's schedule, beyond the student's schedule. After the class is over, it's still going on. And that's where you're transforming that lesson.
And the good thing about today's meet is after the conversation or the discussion is done, the teacher can save it and award points to the students for their participation or for good points being made. Or, you know, you can have a checkoff list that, hey, you got to do it this many times. It's an easy way to go back and check that we're having full participation.
And that's one way to take a comparison type activity and go through the three levels of SAMR in the classroom. How about you, Tom? What do you have?
I have Liquid Text. I have just discovered this app within the last month, and oh my God, I love it. It does. It really reimagines the way that I looked at texts and the way that I can interact with the text. Now, if we're doing the substitution, if we're going up the hierarchy like Mike did, substitution on liquid text instead of reading it on a textbook, I would download the PDF or the document or the whatever it is into liquid text. It's free on the App Store, and I could go ahead and just read it in there, and that would be a substitution model.
So same thing they could do in the classroom.
That's right. Same thing you can do in the classroom printed. For that next level, an enhancement for that augmentation where it's acting as a substitute, in liquid text, you can highlight or annotate the text. It's really simple. You drag your finger across what you want to highlight, and a little menu pops up, and you could put a note there. You can annotate. You can highlight. And it'll pop it out in a little sidebar so you can see it and go over your notes later. And that's really taking it to the next level. You don't really have to flip back and forth. Your split screen is your tool right there. And it's really augmenting what the students can do. There's an increased functionality in highlighting and annotating because it's all kept on one screen that you can see easily. Augmentation is further served by liquid text when the student can print or download the annotations and review them later. So that would be augmenting that task. Okay, there's functional improvement to reading, note-taking, and highlighting because it's right there in a digital format. Now, liquid text can also be used to modify that task, that modification level of the SAMR, because I can now email my notes or my highlights or my annotations to anybody I'd like. And I could share that. And it emails them as either a picture or a rich text format that then you can have a discussion on, or like Mike was talking about Office 365, you can collaborate with other people online and edit and share your notes. And it's just, it takes it to that, you know, blow your mind level of, now our kids are really discussing that. There's that talk about, okay, why was this? Why did you highlight this? Okay, what do you think about this note? I don't really think. There's just so many ways that they can interact with the text now that this Liquid Text app that I'm using really takes that to that next really good level.
And I've seen you with this Liquid Text, really incredible app. Does it allow for collaboration within the app itself? Or is it something you have to put onto an online cloud or...
Within, because it's a free app, there's a couple of limitations. That's one of them. You can't share online. I mean, if you have two people using the same device, yes, you can look at it. But the online collaboration space is what's missing right now. And hopefully it'll be either a further enhancement on the device or, you know, even something that we might be willing to pay for in a future version. But for right now, I mean, even just how it is now, it's totally revolutionizing. The way that I have interacted with a lot of the text that I'm seeing. So is that going to be it for modification?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Again, we are on the third level of SAMR.
Yeah, we're going to put the apps and links in our show notes. And next time when we come back, we will be doing another small summary of the SAMR model and then really talking about redefinition. And that one's going to be a big one because it's totally allowing for the creation of new, previously inconceivable tasks. So that one's going to be exciting. You're going to want to check back for that one.
Yeah.
But for now, we're going to take a small break, and then we will come back with our Before You Ticket. And on today's Before You Ticket, we're going to go over a problem that we were inspired by our muse in the office today. Who was having this exact problem. And I figured, you know, it happens a lot, so why not put it in the show?
Yeah.
Our colleagues came to work today and found that they could not access their email, which in the Bassett Unified School District is also attached to your Microsoft 365 account.
So she was completely locked out this morning.
Uh-huh. And she really needed to get on and do something. So we quickly had to, you know...
do the troubleshooting.
Yeah, troubleshoot real quick. And so this was the process that we went through with her this morning that anybody can use to help hopefully get them back logged in and ready.
And so probably the first thing that everyone should do that we did with her, check that username, check yep. that you've got the right password. You're not on a different one that you're trying to use another password for. And most importantly, make sure you have not hit that caps lock because that will throw your password off.
Yeah. Many times this little caps lock or even a missed letter somewhere or an extra letter somewhere, that's going to really mess up your username and password. So if you've tried a couple times, really make sure that you're typing it in very slowly and make sure the caps lock isn't on and make sure everything's spelled correctly because that's going to be the culprit 9 times out of 10.
You know, and sometimes I've seen where it'll actually save your password. And even though you type it in, it'll re-put in your old one that's incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's best just to shut down that browser you're using, open it again, and try it fresh.
And that was step 2 that we went over with our colleague today. Shut it down, bring it back up, see if you can get back in.
And if you know for sure it's not working on all your devices, you can't get in, you're going to have to go to my tech desk here at Bassett.
Yep, you're going to have to place that ticket in. A little note for this, we got to make sure that we put our phone as a contact because you can't use your email, so it can't be a contact. You got to make sure that that extension is correct, at least here in BUSD.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, make sure you give some good detail in there.
Yep.
So you get service right away that you have an issue.
And with this tech ticket, it was put in. I marked it as high priority, and it was literally solved within about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And she got a phone call, and it said, hey, it's all unlocked now. And the most important thing to remember is after your problem is resolved, to make sure and say thank you to that tech that helped you.
Yes. Always good for next time. Yep. So you get that same kind of service. You got to give your thank yous out.
Yep. Thank that person helping you. Make them feel good. Make your day go a little bit better. And I've found that it helps out the next time you're having a problem too.
Definitely.
All right. So that is Before You Ticket today. And we're going to move on to our next segment, which is going to be your Tech Minute. Okay, our Tech Minute today is about email etiquette. And computers in each of our classrooms and tablets that we have made teachers more accessible than ever thanks to email. And communication with colleagues and parents and others has been much more simpler and much more efficient. In this tech tip today, we're going to review some basic guidelines for good email communication, not only with parents and admin, but whenever you're sending an email.
And as a teacher or a district administration, you want to make sure your professionalism is on task, especially using your language that projects a professional image to your audience. You want to be careful with acronyms. We have a lot as teachers, and if you're emailing out to a parent, they probably won't get the acronyms you're using, so spill everything out. Just make sure, and you're finishing with a good greeting that shows, and a good opening shows that you are a professional.
And the next part's confidentiality. Be respectful of personal information and delicate information when you're emailing parents and other staff members. Remember that sometimes a follow-up phone call or a personal meeting is always an option for that. There are some things that shouldn't be sent over email. So make sure that you remember that confidentiality through email, it's not always that secure.
And going on to efficiency. A good thing about email is you can get a quick response from someone, but if you want that quick response, you really need to make those simple emails. If you want something back quick, don't start typing a dissertation in an email if you want a quick answer from someone.
And more along those lines about professionalism and being concise, make sure you check the spelling, punctuation, and grammar. There is not an email service or program that I know of that won't allow you to do that. You know, you really got to make sure that you fix all that, because even a small error or two can just throw off your credibility in your email. So make sure that, you know, we check that spelling, punctuation, and grammar. I'm not saying it's not okay to be a little informal, but don't be sloppy with any of that, because that's going to leave a bad taste in the recipient's mouth.
And, you know, also the look of the email. You want to use a professional font. Things like New Times Roman or Times New Roman, Arial, Helvetica are
just
probably
not Comic Sans. Please, not Comic Sans.
No. Save that for in the classroom. Are probably your best choices. It should be easy to read your message. Don't use capitals, symbols, or abbreviations or emojis in a formal communication, especially with a parent or even your admin.
Yeah. And you got to remember along those lines that email is not private. Digital copies of your message are going to exist online for a very, very long time. And unlike the old-fashioned letter, the text of your emails can always be searched for key words or phrases.
And they can also be requested in the field that we work, public.
Yes, they can. They're all public domain.
Yep.
So searches can be conducted by our employer or the email service provider we're using, or even the government. So we got to make sure that we remember email, even though we like to pretend that data sometimes is not something that's private.
And you want to be also careful and mindful of your tone in your email. When we communicate face-to-face, 70 to 90% of our communication is nonverbal. Unfortunately, in an email, like sarcasm, jokes, double or hidden meanings often become confused. Try to avoid them. People do not get sarcasm in an email.
Yeah, that goes back to the professionalism, I think.
Yeah.
And on that professionalism line, we have to remember, I mean, that this is rule on top number one. Don't forward junk emails. Messages that are probably fake, full of rumors, urban legends, or just ads, okay, straight into that junk, trash, delete, whatever you want to call it. They don't belong in your inbox. We'll probably have to do a screencast on how to mark junk mail.
Yeah.
But I noticed that when we switched email servers from our old one to this Microsoft, that we started getting a couple more junk emails and phishing. So
yeah,
we talked about that. Yeah, we talked about that on I think our first or second podcast. But yeah, don't forward those things. Just go ahead and delete them, pretend like they never happened, and get back to your professional business duties.
Yeah, a lot of those junk emails are looking for your password. Yes, they're looking for you to give it up. And
And some of them might try and pretend to be someone else and try and get something from you. Just if it's not from somebody you're expecting, if it's not from somebody you know, if it looks like it's suspicious, just delete it.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Well, I think that's going to be it for today. We once again. Oh, hold on. Let's try that over. So I think that's all we have time for today. We want to thank you for subscribing and letting us be a part of your day. We'll be coming back next time, hopefully with an interview and the
fourth level on Sammer model.
Yes.
Redefinition
of the task. So if you have any requests or questions or want to request a podcast or maybe even have a question you'd like us to answer, you can email us at
edtosas@bassettusd.org. That's edtosas@bassettusd.org.
So may your tech always be working, may your tickets be answered quickly, and may you always remember to save your work to the cloud frequently. From the Dog Pound at the BIC, this is Tom Covington
and Michael Jeffcott saying goodbye for now.